Good evening. Welcome to the Massaquan School District Board of Education Committee of the Whole meeting for February 21st, 2017. Call to order our opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan, and the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me now for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll ask Ms. Coates now, please, to deliver the oath of office to our newest member, Mr. Hoveter.
Yes. Mr. Hoveter, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I, please state your name.
I, Terrence Hoveter.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I, please state your name.
I, Terrence Hoveter.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of member of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of member of a Board of Education.
And that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS 19:4-1, nor disqualified due to a conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A:12-1.
And that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS 19:4-1, nor disqualified due to conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A:12-1.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Hoveter. We'd like to once again thank Mr. Burns for his time serving on the board. And move on to roll call. Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mrs. De Palma?
Here.
Mr. Fiore?
Here.
Mrs. Garrett Muley? Mr. Hoveter?
Here.
Mr. Lofredo?
Here.
Mrs. McGarry?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Vitale? Mr. Warren?
Here.
Madison Detlinger? Carly Grogan? Christopher Driscoll? Mara Farragher? We have a quorum.
Thank you. Our mission statement, Massaquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public, oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Next week, we will ask that the board recommend and accept the minutes. The January 31st meeting, we will have a student board representative report. That brings us to number 9, which is presentations, and I will gladly turn it over to Dr. Cage.
We're going to move to the podium and make our first presentation of the evening to the Massaquan High School Surf Team Champions. Take this opportunity to thank the parents. When I first came to Manasquan, I was very surprised to see that we had a surf team. And then I quickly learned how dedicated those surfers were and how dedicated the parents were. Because for the last 3 years, the Surfers have attended the championships, the national championships, in San Diego. And that was because of the efforts of the parents who raise money every year, very diligently. I never even hear about it. It's just done. And I want to thank you for that. Because I really believe in opportunity. And you provide your children, our students, with the opportunity to compete nationally. There's only one word for that. That's awesome. Even though I don't get an opportunity to go, you do get an opportunity to go because of your parents and because the Board of Education acknowledges how important those experiences are. So before we even start to thank the great accomplishment of the national championship, the Surfers who brought us this trophy, which is a surfboard, right, Mr. Buss? Surfboard that I see you walk in school last 3 years carrying so proud with red eyes. I want to say thank you. I truly appreciate that. And with that, and the push of a button, I believe that we will get a video. Well, 3 years in a row, we were state champions, and I want to thank you for that, 2014-15, 2015-16, and 2016-17. That's an unbelievable accomplishment. Now, I just want to pause for you to realize that.
And defending champion, defending their title with 176 points against 1A.
Thank you.
Coach Napolitano to come forward, please, Coach, to say a few words for me before we call the students up and before we cut the cake. I'm very proud of what the coach does every day in the classroom. He not only is obviously an excellent coach, but he's also one of our best educators. And that says a lot, because Manasquan is full of excellent educators, and I'm proud to be a part of it. Coach, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Cajun. First, I just want to thank everybody, especially the surfers and the parents. Dr. Cajun was spot on with saying none of this could be done without the parents and the community of Manasquan and all the surrounding districts, all the sending districts. Specifically, Donna Fortney, Leslie Naughton, Joe Fortney. Sue Becker, and everybody that's involved, all the parents. It's a program that could not function as well as it does without the parents. We have two of the best coaches, Nick Knapp and JD. Neither one could be here tonight. I know JD is very sick with the flu. He was very sorry he couldn't make it. But to the surfers, the only reason why I do this is for you guys. You know, this is one thing when I do love teaching, but the one thing that truly makes this job special is going out there every day and having you guys and just saying, what's up, Bus, every day, and the thank yous that I get. So I'm saying thank you to you. That's the one reason why I truly, truly love and enjoy my job. It's because of you guys. Thank you very much. I think this was my 10th season. To think, I couldn't even imagine that at one point we'd be three-peat state champions. So it is an amazing accomplishment. We've had a national champion longboarder. To see the things that we've accomplished as a team, as a surf team family, it's actually absolutely amazing to be able to be a part of this, and I thank you very much.
Now we'd like to call the students forward. And we have a Wally Bucks, we have a certificate of appreciation, as well as a picture that we showed regarding the state championship right before we have the cake. And Mary Lou Becker, Kyle, Kyle Benjamin, is Kyle here this evening? Josie Borgoff, Josie, and Jason Brenner, Jason. I promise I'll try to do better. Lil Callahan? Lil? Connor Brickley? Connor? Anthony DeVilia? Anthony? Wesley? And Alex Detlinger. Alex?
Thank you.
Rogan DeLuccio. Rogan. Richard Donadio. Amanda Fierro. Amanda? Amanda, thank you. Keaton Fortney. Keaton, congratulations. Awesome. Thomas Frieda. Thomas. Cole Holman. Cole. Jacob Hill. Jacob? James Kerr. James? Is that James?
No.
Okay.
We'll move around.
Michael Hyde. Michael? Juan Martinez Rubio. Congratulations. Thank you for being here. William McCarthy. Sean Vixlick. Sean? Or William? Kern Eagley. Kern? Morgan Eagley. Thanks for being here, though, Sean. I appreciate it. I'll try to do better. All right, guys, thank you. Job well done. You ready? All right. Anna Muley. Anna? Paige Pirlo. Paige, thank you. Great picture, by the way, in your video. Yeah, it's neat. Nice smile. Abigail Reddy. Abigail? And Bailey Reddy. Bailey? Abigail Bailey's not here? Nicholas Rice. Nicholas? Congratulations, Bailey. Cameron Rothery. Cameron? Anthony Santos. Elise Schmieder. Elise? Philip Schweer. Jada Smeka. Jada? Aiden Tolne. Aiden? I don't know, Coach. I'm not doing too good tonight.
I already got two no's.
Jack?
He's got a lot of babies.
Jack Tompkiel. Jack?
He's not knocking.
Yeah. Nope. A lot of kids in other sports, too.
That makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Thank you. Tide Trogum. Tide? John Valgenti. Richard, I'm sorry, Rachel Lee Wall. Rachel? Thank you, Rachel. Connor Ward. Matthew Wick. Christopher Wilson. Jana Melchianda. Jana? Those are our Manasquan High School 13 state champions. Now, before we move to our school safety and security presentation, We are going to have our cake. So we'll take a 5-minute break, if you would, and please have some cake. And congratulations, and thank you very much for representing Manasquan community so well. Truly appreciate it. Tim Clayton is our coordinator of security, and he's here tonight to present some new school safety and security measures that we implemented. We were very fortunate to have the state choose Manasquan as one of the places that we're going to visit to have a surprise audit of our lockdown procedures. I'm very proud of what we do here to keep the children safe, but I didn't realize that this was going to be a showcase for those in the State Department. When I saw Bob Bumpus pull up, and then I heard that our county superintendent was a little late in getting here, but he was on his way, and then I saw our assemblyman come, I knew that we would have a plethora of dignitaries here to observe what we were doing. And we, I'm sure Tim's going to focus on who was here. My point is that I was very proud for them to see exactly what we do here. And I was happy to see that the recommendations they gave us were recommendations that were things that we could accomplish very easy, because they were here to find things that they could recommend. That was their purpose. And tonight, Tim's going to focus on the things, the recommendations they gave us, and what we've decided to do to make Manasquan even more safe and more secure. Tim, you would?
Dr. Cajun said, on February 3rd, the Department of Education, a retired state trooper, contacted us. I took a couple of his courses over the last couple of years. He works with the Department of Education. He's their school safety and security expert, advisor. And he contacted us and asked if it's okay we do an unannounced lockdown at one of our schools. And just getting an extra set of eyes to see what we do and give us some feedback, I'm always welcome to that. It's something that we've always done in law enforcement. It's certainly something that we welcomed here. As Dr. Gage said, there was a lot more people than I expected. I expected New Jersey State Police, and I expected this retired trooper, and the assemblyman's driver came up and asked where he can park. I knew we were gonna have a lot more people here than expected, which is good. It was Assemblyman Rybel. Dave and I worked together as Wall Township police officers. We personally know each other, and he came because we're his district, and he knew we're here, and we always welcome him, and I always welcome him here to see what we do. The things that they know, they recommended to us is nothing earth-shattering. It's now that you're starting to see law enforcement get involved in education in the schools, things are starting to change, and every time there's an incident somewhere in the state or in the country, there's a group of people that come out with things that are going to be a little different. So it's constantly getting tweaked. Nothing's perfect, but what we need to do is we need to do what is reasonable for us, not for anyone else. So they have recommendations. And we sat down and went over their recommendations, and we implemented what we feel is reasonable for us to change. And there's not major changes, but they came in with a couple ideas. The first one you see, it says lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. What happens is in emergency services, they're going to common language. They get rid of 10 codes. You know, you used to hear, you know, what's your 20, where are you at? You hear those type of things. Well, now it's what's your location. I'm en route to a first aid call. I'm arriving at the first aid. So all those things are changing. So now you see that, and that's coming into the schools now. There's no longer code words. There's no longer code blues or code reds or anything like that. It's you say what you're going to do. So we shorten it. We're changing it. We weren't that far off. We were just used to say attention staff. So they say, well, drop the attention staff, because in an emergency, you're not going to say attention staff. And we know that. So we're just switching it to, as when we drill, we're going to do lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. So, and they also recommended we utilize different staff. This came from the Newtown, where the first person that was assaulted was the person that generally called the lockdown, so everyone wasn't sure. It was a great thought that comes out. So when we start doing our drills, we're gonna implement a different voice and a different place of the schools, either one, where the lockdown's gonna be initiated. And also, they recommend that we simulcast. We have our own in-house radio system. Our radio system is monitored by the police department. We can talk directly to the Manasquan dispatch from our in-house radio system. And they recommended that we simulcast the lockdown over the radio as well. That way if the police department will hear the lockdown immediately, and then we can start. It could save, you know, save seconds, could save minutes. So that's something that we're gonna implement as well. Another thing, what we have been generally do, because of different schedules and different things going on, is we would drill the high school, we would drill the elementary school. What we're going to do, because realistically, we are one campus, so if we're going to lock down, we're locking down the campus. So we're gonna start drilling together.
What's the difference between lockdown and shelter in place? Aren't they the same? You both have to do the same thing? I'm a little not clear on that.
It's changing as well. Shelter in place is designed for, Broad Street's a county road, so it's a truck route. So you're allowed to have trucks with chemicals drive by the schools.
Okay.
If you get a chemical spill, a diesel leak, something like that, you would shelter in place. It's for a weather event or a chemical event or something outside you don't want. You would shelter in place.
So shelter in place means stay inside?
Shelter in place is stay inside, lock all doors, nobody in, nobody out, but you can still function through the building.
Okay.
And that's an option we have too. But lockdown is lock the doors, get into a confined area, out of sight.
Thank you.
So that's how we're going to start doing that as well. And then
Tim, didn't you use shelter in place when the person had the injury, and you knew that the ambulance was coming, and you knew people were going to be in the hallways? Didn't you go to shelter in place for that, for the medical emergency that you had?
I mean, we sheltered in place. We had a medical emergency upstairs. We had a CPR in progress. It was near change of class, so we sheltered in place. And we knew what it was, so we were able to communicate to staff. We have a medical emergency. Please, you know, make shelter in place, maintain your students, hold everyone in their classrooms. That's another reason it would be used. And then one of the things that we recognized is we had to come up with a communication way to communicate with staff that are out of the building, so when we're locked down, they don't walk in. That's something that came out from this as well. One of the questions they said was, how do you notify your staff that aren't in the building? So, and they're right. So we're just, I spoke with Jesse, we're gonna come up with either a pre-announced Honeywell or a text group to get it out to all the staff members that were in lockdown and not to come into the building. One of the things they did, and I haven't done, and I'm going to do, is they utilized teachers on prep to be part of the, normally we would tell the teachers, if you're in prep, you lock down where you're at. But they utilize the teachers to bring them out to see how the administration functions during a lockdown, and brought their feedback, and they had a lot of feedback. And it worked really well, so I think that's something I spoke with the principals about. We're gonna continue, is bring the staff in, so you'd have different staff see from the other end. And kind of, so they understood it more. Substitute IDs, we're gonna create the substitute ID cards. That day we had the lockdown, we had a couple substitutes. The doors are locked, so they're okay, but it was like, well, what if? What if it happened on a way to class, and they were with a class? They need a key to access the nearest room. So with that, what we're gonna do is create an ID system, put a key on, and we're gonna give it out beginning of the at their shift, and then take it at the end of their shift, just so they have access to the doors as well. Again, this was something that was brought up, you know, the what ifs with having the state police here and Model County Prosecutor's Office. It was pretty good. We were going to limit access to like the media center. We already do it to the cafeterias. And what I mean by limited access is one entrance. For a large area, the auditorium, the cafetorium, the cafeterias, the large area like that, we're going to limit access. So they'll have one entrance. So and in case of a lockdown, there's only one door that the staff's going to have to worry about. The staff will be trained on which door it is, how to lock it. And that wasn't always done, but something that they recommended, hey, if you've got a big area like this, make sure the doors are locked. Except one. Again, a recommendation came, and this was nothing they said happened. They could, is when you end the lockdown, we would normally get on a lockdown drill and just say, attention all staff, it's the end of our lockdown drill. You can go back to normal classroom activities. What they recommended was on this, do it a second time, preferably with a second voice if possible. That way the staff knows that that end of lockdown wasn't coerced. Not that that was done anywhere, it's just something you're starting, like I said, you're starting to put police officers in schools and they're starting to think, oh, what if he's coerced?
So they know it's legit?
They know it's the legit end of a lockdown.
Gotcha.
That someone's not just getting on that knows the system. I mean, again, everything needs to be reasonable. If you have someone that's well-versed in that, you have a professional assailant, and you know, you don't want them coming back out at that point. So you want to have that second one. And again, we're changing that into our procedures. One of the things that came up was the lockdown with a fire drill. Someone pulls a fire alarm while we're in lockdown. What's our procedure? It's something we haven't trained. It's something that we are going to train with. We're going to give them notification that we're going to do it so the teachers can speak to the students at their appropriate age level. And we can prep them on, hey, we're going to have a lockdown. Then we're going to have a fire alarm. And when you're in lockdown and you hear the fire alarm, as long as you're not in imminent danger of fire, to stay put. And it's something that we're gonna practice. And that was a recommendation on their part. The other part was have more people trained in how to silence the alarm. So if we go to lockdown and someone pulls the fire alarm, someone can go and silence that alarm, not just our custodians. Myself and an administrator has the ability to go silence the fire alarm. And then we're planning drills with different scenarios. There are a lot of teachers to prepare their students. Again, that was the fire alarm concept, and we want to announce them. One of the recommendations to us is to do some unannounced drills. Do you not announce them? My belief and the belief I've been trained in through the national school safety people are we do announce. We announce the drill so you can mentally prepare the students and you're not scaring anyone. You mentally prepare the teachers. We can train them on what to do. Say we have a lockdown coming on Friday. They can talk to their students about it. They can tell them what they're gonna do. Then we lock down on Friday, whatever time we decide to do it. And they know it's a drill. And then we're going to talk to the teachers and train them on that they can call a lockdown as well, because the person's not always walking in the front door where the administrators are. You could have a person coming in, you know, Pod C on the eighth grade side, and we want that teacher to have the training and ability to lock down the school from that section without calling the office. I mean, if someone makes a mistake and locks down, it's a lot better than not locking down. And then we're always looking for opportunities to improve on these. So we're going to continue to you know, attend courses, continue to follow what's the best practice in national trends, and continue to improve these as often as we can. Okay.
Awesome. So a lot of the things they suggested will be rectified with the building process that we have, voice over IP system.
Yes.
And I just want to compliment the Manasquan Police Chief for being here. He was here and he was readily available, and he definitely demonstrated to everyone from the state that there is a solid connection between the school district, the community, and the police force. So I really want to thank him for that.
Yeah, he was terrific. He really one of the things Dr. Page was talking about was we called 911 from the elementary school, and we need the chief of police to assist us with that. So he got our clearance. We called 911 to see what address it popped up, and it popped up as the high school. We do have direct radio communications with the police department. I have spoken directly with the police department through our radios. I don't think the delay would be there at all, but it's something that, you know, having the chief there and having his support gave us the opportunity to see what happens.
And as I recall, they actually paid for half of that, whatever device it was, that allowed us to make that connection with the school district, right?
Yeah.
We split the cost with them, which was great, and that's a nice partnership. Makes me feel much more secure.
And they're in our schools every day. They're here every day, they do walkthroughs on both schools every day. It's just it's a great relationship we have with them.
Thanks, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's good. I just didn't know that happened. That's awesome. Does it make the kids nervous? The little kids I was thinking of more than the Colts.
Spotlight on me.
It is now, because we are to the committee of the whole discussion items for the agenda. Dr. Cajun, Education, Curriculum, and Technology, and Personnel.
Thank you very much. First, regarding Education, Curriculum, and Technology, we got the final version of the lease agreement between the Manasquan First Aid and Manasquan Board of Education. And everyone was giving a copy of that lease agreement, highlighted with the changes. And the cost has remained the same. And there were just some infrastructure requests that they put in here, like classroom restrooms and other, on page one, classrooms, restrooms, and other common areas of Manasquan First Aid Building, excluding the office, basement, truck room, and maintenance room, could be utilized by us. So it made common sense. There were some common sense things that I didn't think about that they did. And you can read all the highlighted parts in this. So are there any questions about this? Because I would like to have this lease enacted this month. And it comes at a nice time for us because it gives us new classroom space that we can utilize next year. We're going to need three new classrooms as they're doing the renovations in the high school. Thank you. We'll discuss our personnel in the executive session. We do have some policies that you were given, which are second readings. The Education Stability for Children in Foster Care Policy, the Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, and the Administering an Opioid Antidote Policy, which were all given last month as well. Good? I think there's an appellate division ruling that we should take our time to focus on this evening, Keene 1 and Keene 2, and that's what we'll be doing right now. So if you would, please.
Sure, thanks. So in the last week and a half, the appellate division came out with a decision of Keene Federation of Teachers versus Keene University, and it changed what it changed who gets a Rice notice. Now, typically a Rice notice was something that allowed our teachers to know or our staff to know that they were going to be discussed in executive session if there was a matter that could potentially adversely affect their employment. And it gave that staff member a right to demand that discussion be held in public. That still remains the law today. But what Keene did was it said anybody who's on an agenda pretty much for any reason, and the criteria are if you're on an agenda for employment, for appointment to a position, termination, anything that can impact your terms and conditions of employment, evaluations, promotions, or discipline is entitled to notice that they're on the agenda. And this is pretty expansive in reach in that on your agenda for just You have field trips. You have four people who are listed to chaperone a field trip. They would get notice that they're on the agenda. Any staff member who puts in for tuition reimbursement would get notice that they're on the agenda. It doesn't change much in terms of what the board does. It just gives your business office staff a giant administrative headache as to who they have to notify before each and every meeting. That's the sum substance of Kane. There's a second part of the decision which doesn't really impact the board much, dealing with when you approve your meeting minutes. The university apparently had the practice of not approving their minutes for months on end. You guys generally approve them at the next board meeting, or, you know, in exceptional circumstances, the following meeting. So you're already in compliance with that half of the decision, so that's a non-event. But the major impact of this decision is that your staff will now routinely get notice that they're on an agenda, and it doesn't mean for something bad. It just means your name's on there for approval for whatever category you fit in.
So just let me ask that because of this particular decision,
mm-hmm.
you're suggesting that we take every name that's on the agenda and service them with the right service.
Yes.
But it's not mandated that we have to do this.
Well, it's not mandated that you provide them with advance notice, but you have to advise them that they are on the agenda and that action may be taken.
Now, is providing the staff with a copy of the agenda enough? What if we were just to email the staff a copy of the agenda the day of the meeting?
That's still not clear at this point.
But would that cover us?
It may or it may not. We've provided your administration with a template notice to advise your staff.
Does there have to be a description of what they're being discussed?
That's not clear from the decision either. The template notice that we have generated pretty much advises the staff member that they are on the agenda and that it's available at wherever it's posted in the district and that they should check it out. And if they are requesting that their employment or whatever it is be discussed in public, they should advise the district.
So we're not giving them a rights notice, it's just a template that you're giving?
Yes. Yes.
I don't see, personally, and Lynn, I want you to weigh in on this because it's going to impact both of our offices. I'd rather be secure in what we do. So if this is the suggestion that we get from our attorney, I think it's something we should follow through. But I, as committee of a whole, I think this needs to be discussed right now. And I'm very comfortable with following through with this, even though it's going to be a little bit more work for us, but I think it would protect us in the long run. I need to hear from you.
One comment I'd make, Dr. Cation, is that most of the folks would be in one of the business associations.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sit down with them, their leadership right away, and explain to them rather than begin mm-hmm. to flood people with rice note. I mean, this there's a fairly significant process change as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
Somebody's putting in half a day here or there. They've never... Now they're going to constantly be getting a rice notice that says you're going to be discussed in the meeting. So I would have to think before we start doing that, that we let the folks know through the leadership of the associations what the change is and what the impact is, and not to all of a sudden think that everybody is going to have their...
I think that's a great suggestion. And I'd rather, I agree with it 1,000%, rather make sure everybody's in front of this so they understand it's for their benefit. And so does...
They should get the same conversation or they should get the same explanation mm-hmm. as to what this ruling is so that they understand that their inbox will be flooded.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, there still is the possibility that the university will appeal a decision, but it would go to the Supreme Court of New Jersey and they don't necessarily take every case. So we'll see what happens.
So should we wait then?
I wouldn't wait. They only have a very limited window. And it is in effect now. So for our next board meeting, we should be notifying everybody who's on the agenda.
I have a question. Can you send them electronically or do they
yes.
have to be paper served or something?
You can email everybody.
Like you can, okay.
For the next meeting, we'll enact this. We'll have the meetings with the associations and this week, if we can, Lynn, I'll
yes.
see their availability and definitely do that. And then we'll let the staff know by sending them the Keene 1 and Keene 2 decision. Can you send those to us?
Yeah.
We have? That way I'll give them the actual decisions that they have to read them. They can read them. And then everything's transparent.
Okay.
And if we're going to use a template, we're going to show them what the template looks like.
I agree 1,000%.
And do we have to send them individually, or can they get a group, like everybody that's on today's can get one group email, you're on here for X, Y, and Z?
You can send that as a group. As long as the notice reaches everybody.
A lot, right.
Yeah, you know, the practicality of it is however the business office wants
gotcha.
To do it.
Gotcha. But I mean, you're not excluded from sending it as a group to everybody who's on the agenda for that night.
Well, that makes it easier. I thought it might diminish its validity if we did it as a group, but yeah. It's okay.
However, I'm thinking that will help save a lot of stuff.
I think it's going to be in the wording of the template that's going to determine how easy you make this.
Any other comments, questions about this? I think it's a systemic change, so I really thought we need to discuss it. Thank you. Now something we all like to talk about, the 16-17 budget update. Lynn?
Yes, our 17-18 budget committee remains the same as it was last year, which is Mrs. Bassone, Mrs. Garrett Muley, Mr. Catani, Mr. Vitale, and Mr. Pellegrino. We have a number of meetings set up from now through early March. The committee and Dr. Cajun and I will update the board on a regular basis through the Friday packets. By March 10th, the board will receive a packet of information regarding the recommended tentative budget. Last year, we called that packet Quick Facts. It was probably about 30 pages long, so don't let the name mislead you, but it is a more concise version of the budget,
right.
So I call it Quick Facts.
Welcome to the business office.
30 pages instead of 196.
Exactly. That's right, exactly. So,
thank you, Donna, for that positive question.
That's right. That's the quick part of it.
So so that right now is tentatively scheduled to be approved on March 14th. That allows us to turn what we call the tentative budget into the county office for their review and approval. That budget can still be modified up until the date of the public hearing, including the day of the public hearing. The public hearing is scheduled right now for April 25th, which is our regularly scheduled April meeting.
April 25th?
April 25th. Mm-hmm. I believe there was some conversation that we may need to move or want to discuss the consideration of moving the March 14th board meeting. I don't know, Mr. Pellegrino, did you want to bring that up or discuss that?
I can bring it up, sure. We believe that on March 14th there will be a basketball game, which would be well attended, and we don't want to compete against the basketball game as far as board attendance and the possibility the game might be here and parking and things like that. So we discussed it's important that we meet that week. So obviously whatever works best with everyone's schedule, we would either move it to the 13th, the Monday, or we move it to the 15th, the Wednesday. It's an important meeting because of the budget considerations. The budget, what's the word I'm looking for? The budget.
Rollout?
Submittal. So we can't, we couldn't just combine the meetings that month. We do need to meet that week. But for everybody, for everything that I just mentioned, if we could move it to Monday or Wednesday, whatever works best, if that works, now's the time when somebody should say Monday or Wednesday works best.
Monday works better for me.
Monday works better for Mr. Warren.
I prefer Monday.
We have two Mondays.
I don't care. So
we have three Mondays. I'm a fourth Monday. Linda's a fifth Monday. Does Belmar meet on Mondays? No, right? Does the Heights meet on Mondays?
Thursday.
We meet the next Monday.
Well, then Monday it is, no matter what Mr. Lefredo thinks.
So Monday the 13th?
Thank you. Monday the 13th.
We will advertise. 6 o'clock. Advertise the change in that meeting date accordingly. Any questions about the update on the 17-18 budget? Regarding the referendum finances, on tonight's agenda, there is a resolution to authorize the issuance of $5 million in temporary notes to make application to the local finance board for review and approval of a non-complying maturity schedule for the bonds for the referendum, if needed. Okay. Since the passing of the referendum, we've been working with our finance professionals and our bond counsel to secure both short and long-term financing options. This is agenda item number 13 on page 2. It's in italics.
and we're asking for approval on that this evening. And this authorizes, the resolution authorizes us to move forward with the needed financing. The resolution was written by Andrea Kahn, who is our bond counsel, and was reviewed by Mr. Gross's office. And it is basically a boilerplate resolution to begin the financing process. Are there any questions on that? And under building and grounds, if I may just continue, this morning, our building.
Before you do, though.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to thank both Lynn and Tom for their due diligence in actually putting the questions together and making the contacts with the construction management services that you did and setting up the schedule that we worked on. And I want to thank the committee for meeting today. I think they were great meetings that we had, and hopefully it'll be fruitful for us. But thank you for that.
So just to continue on what Dr. Cajun said this morning, our building committee interviewed the firms that responded to the RFP for construction management services. We'll be discussing the outcome later this evening in executive session. And again, thank you to the committee. We spent about 5 hours together this morning, and we're back together this evening. So thank you very much for your dedication.
That brings us to number 11, our superintendent's report and information items. Will you have a superintendent's report next week?
Next week, I'll have one.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
Then we'll move to number 12. Right?
That's correct.
We have reached our first public forum on agenda items this evening. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited time or recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board should be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation and reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiation, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum, as I mentioned, is limited to comment on items included in the agenda only, please. Would anyone from the public like to be heard? We'll hear you.
Where did that microphone go?
Yeah. On the podium where you did the presentation.
Oh. Mr. Bus maybe had it?
Yeah. Sorry. I'll take full responsibility for that. I'll be all
right. Anyway, I'll give my name. You know me. You know me. Marilyn Jacobson, 59, Clean Avenue. Could you just explain to me, because I'm not in the school, you know, every day, so really what happens during lockdown? What locks down? Do the doors lock down?
Lockdown, it's
under desk like we did in the 1950s,
yes,
you know.
Very much like that. They find a secure location in the classroom. Students and the teacher have to remain away from the windows. We put black shades on the windows and the doors, so in case there is an intruder, they can't see in. And the doors are locked, and until they are released, no one can move throughout the building. No one can come in the building, no one can go out of the building. And if there are staff members who are out on prep or they're on some type of errand, then they are to be notified so they can't come back into the building. That's a lockdown, tersely put.
How do the doors get locked? I mean, does the outside doors get locked? I mean, is
according
there
the
like
standard,
a button push and all the doors lock?
No, according to this, I wish we had that
yeah.
here, but I've tried for those security measures, but we didn't.
Well, the outside doors are locked.
Well, I was just going to get to that. According to the state of New Jersey, every door in the school should be locked.
Who right? locks them?
Well, the teachers lock them. Every door in the school should be locked.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, these are just questions that come up to me when I'm thinking the logistics of locking down all the outside doors, the inside doors.
All the outside doors are locked all day long. They don't open.
There are.
So when you come to a game and the door's open, they open the door after students aren't present. All the doors are locked all day long.
Okay. I have our security guard check all the outside doors. And when I was first here, there was a penchant for rocks to be in the doors to be left open. That doesn't happen anymore. We have cameras. If it does happen, those people who leave the doors open are held accountable. And as of we speak, that is not a common practice anymore.
Okay.
All the doors and the windows are locked, even inside the building.
And all our shades have black shades on them?
No, we have construction paper that we put up to blacken the windows. We don't have shades because we never purchased them. We do have shades in some of the classrooms.
Okay, just a thought because
the logistics of it seems monumental to me, but, you know.
Well, but it's not. Our staff does a wonderful job with this, and that's why I was very proud of them when the state came here. The suggestions they gave us were minimal in regards to what they have given other places they visit in the state, and they even mentioned that. And if you look at the dignitaries who were here because they knew it was going to be a very positive experience, and it could go on the resume.
I don't doubt that. I'm just, I'm just, you know, curious about it, and it's unfortunate that we need to go to that extent in this day and age.
I agree 1,000%.
It's an unfortunate situation that we have to deal with. The budget hearings, I guess, the borough council, when they have their budget meetings, they have budget meetings once a month, and you can go to hear a specific part of the budget. I'm sorry, but I don't know how it works here. I know that you have the one budget hearing for the public, but your other budget meetings, are they for public attendance?
No.
So you just do one big.
When the budget's prepared, then we hold a public hearing.
So there's no input for the public during the budget hearings. So just the final, after the budget
Correct.
Is prepared, and then the people come and listen to it. Can there be changes made at that point?
Until the final submission, we could change it. Yes.
Okay. The RFP for the construction management services, and how many people applied? Was it three? Did I read how many companies applied?
I don't know that we discussed that publicly, but we had, I believe, four.
Four, and you don't give their names out?
No.
No. Okay, and you're approving them tonight?
We're going to discuss it.
Okay, and. The construction management services, their specific job is to protect the school?
Correct.
Is it an intermediary between the school and
their
the people
job is
that
to,
are doing
is
the
to
contract?
Mitigate risk, both financial, safety, that's what they
do. And then you have a committee to work with these, they'll report to you, let's say, once a week?
Correct.
And you have a committee here that hears them, and if there's a conflict,
they'll
these
report.
Are the people that try to settle it between you and the contractor. Just want to make sure that somebody's here to protect the interest of the school and not the contractor. The contractor
that's why,
works
that's,
for
that's
profit.
Why we've issued an RFP to have a construction manager.
Absolutely.
Correct. That's 100%
yes.
correct.
Okay. I'm happy to hear that. I think that's a good thing. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Seeing no one else, we do have one action item tonight, number 13 in the Manasquan General Items. Recommend approval of the resolution authorizing the issuance of $5 million in temporary notes with the Board of Education of Borough of Manasquan as per document A1 and the resolution making application to the local finance board for review and approval of a non-complying maturity schedule as per document A2. Do we have a motion for number 13? Mr. Lafredo, second. Ms. Sone, does anyone have any questions in reference to this item? Does everyone understand exactly what we're doing? Thank you, Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Hobiter?
Yes.
Mr. Lafredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Okay. Next week, we will be going through items 14 through 23 for the Manasquan representatives. Does anybody have any questions on 14 through 23? And for the sending districts and Manasquan, we have items 24 through 32. Does anyone have any questions on any of these items? That brings us to old and new business. Does anyone have any old business they would like to discuss? Ms. Pisson.
Do we have an update on the voluntary drug program? Yet?
Yes, we do. Dr. Cajun, would you like to give that up?
Hmm? We're looking to act on agenda item 24 tonight.
Yes, I'll be...
I apologize.
No apology necessary. I'll be coming to the board with the letter I'm going to send to the community at the next meeting. And I wanted to get that to you in Friday packet first to give you an opportunity to comment, and that's why it'll be going out this Friday.
No problem.
Thank you.
Because I went so fast, if you could turn back to the Manasquan Sanity District General Items Number 24, that is an action item this evening. That's why it's in italics. To recommend approval of the following student clinical observation placement for 10 days beginning the week of February 20th, 2017. Do we have a motion for number 24? Mr. Warner, second. Mrs. McGarry, does anyone have any questions? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter.
Yes.
Mr. Lopretto.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carried.
Now we can continue with any old or new business that anyone might have. Seeing no, we are at our second public forum on any items, agenda or otherwise. Would anybody from the public like to be heard? Seeing no one. Executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Manasquan Board of Education to hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the nine subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act, and whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent that Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business, and whereas the board hereby declares its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education, the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number one, confidential matters per statute or court order. That is a student matter. Number seven, litigation or contract matters or attorney-client. And that is a contract matter involving the construction management services. And number eight, personnel matters, which involve the hiring, resignation, and leaves of absence. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to adjourn to executive session? Mr. Lafredo. Second, Ms. Bassone. All those in favor?
Aye, aye.
Thank you. Red Full. We have a motion to adjourn. Mr. Hoveter. I need to get out of here. Seconded by Mr. Lafredo. All those in favor, say aye. Everybody else can stay.
Thank you.